dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it? What is going on, all my local guys and gals? And long distance pals.
We're back.
We're back.
Really?
I told you, Matt. I said I almost said that because I'm so used to doing it the last few weeks. You're killing me, man.
Gotta work, son.
Part-timers, I tell you.
Part-timers, my butt.
Part-timers.
We are now accepting applications. If you would like to be employed with the Dig Bible Podcast.
Employed? We make money on this thing?
No, we sure
you
don't.
Oh, man. See, this is, yeah, I got to go make money. That's the problem.
Send your resume and headshot to thedig423@gmail.com.
You got to be furry. You got to be furry and hairy to take my place.
You got
to
be a Sasquatch, I tell you.
All applications subject to thedig423@gmail.com. All right, sir.
Yeah, whatever that was.
They got them fast talkers at the end, every one of them. Them commercials, you know they do. All the legal obligations.
Yeah.
But it is good to have you with us, Ben. I'm excited.
I don't know. Is it?
I love having you here.
Okay. Yeah.
We have to give you a hard time.
You're already talking about daggone replacing me. Heck,
he's like, then I find out about the pay.
Yeah, then I ain't getting paid. Somebody, what the heck, bro? Man, by the way, I need some money for electric bill if y'all getting paid and I ain't.
and some Jeep parts.
And, well.
I mean, that goes without saying.
It can be money or Jeep parts for the payment, whichever one.
Whichever one.
And preferably not Jeep parts that fits my Jeeps. So that means I have to buy another Jeep to put the parts on.
I like that.
I mean, you got to think.
That's thinking ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, there's not enough of them sitting around here.
Not at all.
Oh, man. I tell you what, if currencies was Jeeps, we would be loaded right now.
Well, you got two.
That I do. I have one.
You have the other one in the backyard.
Okay, if you want to talk about that rust bucket that's a parts Jeep, that's a different story.
Whatever. My wife would consider that a Jeep.
Yeah, she would, and she'd try to sell it.
True.
Well, anyway, I'm excited the three of us are together. I love when we get to actually be together in person. We don't always get to do that lately. Things, you know, life gets in the way, and I've talked about that before. I said I don't, you know, it's not a good excuse. We don't want to have life get in the way of something that God's calling you to do. I think it's so important that we continue on in this path and continue to try to grow as Christian men ourselves, grow our families as Christian families, and to just continue to reach out to people that aren't going to hear this from someone else because we're in a unique space. And I want to...
Wayne's World of the Christian community.
I love that.
You got your sky watches, you got your prophecy watchers, and we're the other guys.
We are the other guys.
You got us.
And I think that's important. I think the whole point is that we reach, and we're trying to reach people that are borderline, that are thinking about, you know, what do I believe? What am I thinking of? You know, we all have this, like, moral compass, right? We all have this thing in us that's telling us what's right and what's wrong. Where does that come from? Did that just evolve in you that you know what's right and wrong? That's obviously not the case, but I will tell you that we all have that because we have what we call a conscience, or we have something in us that's pushing us in the way of what's right or what's wrong. And I'll tell you, you feel that. And when you override that or you push against that, you know you're doing something that you're not supposed to do, regardless of whether it feels good or it's something you want to do. But we're trying to reach people that are not going to be reached by any other show.
And the way I look at it is the normal people, the working class, everyday Joe the plumber, because that's who we are. Mm. And the world...
especially not just the people that are not believers, but especially even the believers, thinks that it's a cookie cutter mold, suit and tie, front row of the church pew every Sunday, that is a Christian. And if you don't fit that mold, then you know you're not a Christian. And no, we're looking for the modern day Peters. Peter was a fisherman. He liked to fight. He was the first one to pull the sword on the Roman soldier. I'm sure he cussed. He was missing a few teeth, and he liked his wine with his bread. And he was Jesus's homie. So if Jesus was cool with hanging out with dudes like Peter, and he was cool with Peter, then I think the world, it's important to see that those modern-day Peters are accepted.
And the rock that he will build his church.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not knocking those type people that wear the suit and tie and clean cut, squeaky clean, never hear them cuss or catch a beer or cigarette in their hand. But that's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And I think that's a demographic that is the majority, but I think is being missed or left out.
I think that's our niche. I mean, I hate to say niche because I don't like that. I want to make sure that I reach everybody that God wants us to reach. You know, that's the whole point. But, you know, when I say niche, I mean that we're reaching that gap, that stop gap. We have people that you know, we've talked to that have been, you know, in different lifestyles, you know, different sexual orientations. You know, we had George Carneal on the show, you know, talking about his transition from homosexuality. I mean, being a prostitute, a male prostitute, and coming all the way full circle. I mean, there's so many different things that we've, you know, you have to see this big picture, and that we are reaching those people. If we're only reaching people that are already in the church or already Bible believing Christians,
quote unquote, got their act together and got it figured out.
Yeah.
You know, quote unquote.
God calls us before we figure it out. It says literally Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And it's like social media, you know, you compare yourself to other people, especially like women. Women sees the perfect mother, president of the booster club, and leads the Boy Scout troops, and always has the perfect makeup on, and, you know, I mean, just picture perfect. And then other real people see that and feel inferior and feel less than and think they'll never get there, and this person's got it all figured out. So they either run themselves to death and ragged and beat themselves up trying to keep up with that false image till they run themselves into the ground, or they just give up. And I want real people, real Christians, to get out of that too, because it's easy for them to look at, you know, a preacher-esque type guy, suit and tie, never see him cuss, never see a cigarette in his hand, never see him drink a beer, never... You know, I mean, just he looks picture perfect. And they do some reflection and compare themselves, and they're like, dude, I'm the guy that when he stubs his toe, drops an occasional F-bomb. I'm the guy that likes to have a cold beer after work, which Jesus drank wine at the Last Supper, I'm just saying. And his first miracle, he turned water into wine. It's guilty. All about moderation. And, you know what I mean? And not just put these huge, heavy stones on their back that they feel that they have to carry, or this thing they have to live up to and constantly trying to keep up with or feel less than, and just give up.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're real, and that's the whole point, is that you want to be, I want people to understand, you know, what Jesus said and how he said, you know, we have to be saved. You know, no one comes to the Father except through him. It's your belief in what Jesus did for you. We all are going to have crosses to bear. There's going to be things that we struggle with. And I'm not saying that you know, if someone's an alcoholic, yeah, don't go home and have a beer. That's not what I'm saying. But the whole point is that we have struggles in our life. You have different struggles. Ben has different struggles than me. Justin has different struggles than me. You identify your struggles, know what you're fighting with, know what you're fighting against, and have the wherewithal, the insight to know that we're not in the same battle sometimes. But you know what? The people that we're talking to, some of them are going to be in our same battle. Some of them are going to be going through the things we are going through. But don't sit there and because you have a beer, you're not going to hell because you had a beer. You're not going to hell because you had a cigarette. You're not going to hell because you didn't wear a tie to church on Sunday. You have to know that Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you while you were still a sinner. When he came and he, you know, the Pharisees, the people who would have been the priests, you know, that we call priests or pastors at that time, the Pharisees, came to him and called him out. And honestly, in the end, were the one main cog to end up having him be killed. But they came to him, and what did he say? I come for the righteous. He said, I came for the sick. I came for the sick. He's coming to all of us out there, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, he's coming for you. You don't have to be this picture of perfection, what you see a Christian is. He's coming for you. He'll help you through the struggles you have. But those struggles are different for me, for Justin, for Ben, for anybody out there. They're all different.
And everybody's got them. That's what I'm trying to, you know, get across is like the person you see, the televangelist on TV or the preacher on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, just like the Facebook world. He might have that suit and tie on, and every time you see him, he is just positive and speaking life into people, and just little, you know, from what you see, it's picture perfect. But he's just like you. He's got his struggles, and you know, but it's just everybody's different. You know, somebody that might look like they got it all together, never curse, never do any of this stuff, but they go home and watch porn after church. That's something that's a little bit better hid. Some people's faults and struggles are a little bit more on the sleeve for everybody to see. I think that's why it's so important, you know, that, you know, that whole parable of the story of the those without sin cast the first stone, because nobody is.
Not a single one of us.
And even some people, and I'm sure all of us are well aware, some of these, you know, TV evangelists and stuff like that's a persona. I mean, how many times have they caught the, you know, some of these televangelists and stuff that were raging alcoholics that beat their wives and had drug addictions and got caught in, you know, Epstein childlike rings and all this kind of stuff. So it's just like we as people, we want to judge the book by its cover, but that's a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Well, like we're saying, Jesus don't call, you know, we can cast the seeds out, but God calls whoever to him as he, at his will. And you don't have to be, get all your ducks in a row. If you're a prostitute, he's coming to you where you're at. It's not, oh, well, I got to do all this before I can even talk to Jesus, before I even go to church. That comes with it. As you grow in your Christian life, it comes little by little by little. You're slowly building yourself to a better person. You know, you might have, like you're talking about, go to church and be addicted to porn. Well, you know, most men have had that issue, and it's, you know, you might still look at it. You go to church, get saved, you're still going to look at it because it's a habit. But eventually it becomes less and less to want to look at it. You start getting disgusted with it, and next thing you know, you're not looking at it no more. It's not, oh well, I gotta be perfect and then come to Jesus. Well, then why have Jesus at that point? But no one can do it on their own. So,
true story. Yeah, I think it's important that we understand that none of us are perfect. That with that persona, like Justin said, like Ben said, you know, you can't You can't sit there and think that you're going to be exactly what you portray your priest, your pastor, your whatever you want to call him, your minister, or whoever it is that you hold in high regard in the Christian community. You can't sit there and say that person's perfect, because none of them are. They all have their struggles. They all have their battles.
And everybody needs to be real, you know? I mean, because for me, that's what's so important. Because if you're fake, you know what I mean? And there's somebody else that's struggling or dealing with things that you are currently dealing with or struggling with or have. But if you're putting forward this picture perfect persona, you got it all figured out. That person's not going to come to you out of shame and guilt. So if you are real, if you're the guy that, you know, has a cigarette, has tattoos, talks about your drug addictions that you've overcome, you know what I mean? And you are real, not putting forth this picture perfect persona, then God's going to use you to help somebody else in their life and their struggles. Because if you're putting forward, you know, I got it all figured out, boys, and, you know, someone that doesn't and is trying to get it all figured out, they're out of shame not going to come to you because they think you done got it all figured out and you're going to look down at them and cast blame and judgment. So it's like by doing that, by putting up this fake facade, you are robbing God from using you, and you are keeping, you're hindering, you're a stumbling block to helping someone else.
That is your witness.
Yeah.
What you've been through, the struggles you've had, there's a reason. It says plainly throughout the Bible, God tests us. Things happen in our life. Look at Job. We can talk about him all day long. But look at all the different things that have happened in the Bible. It says God tests us. What do you take out of that test? Do you grow with it? Do you have that? Do you use that to say, okay, I've been through this. Now I'm going to go help the next person through it. We all have that. Your testimony, your witness is so powerful. Look at Paul. Paul, right? He sits there and says, I am the chief of all sinners, because he went through, he was murdering Christians, bringing them, and God turns and uses him. If God can use him, God can use any one of you out there. There's not a single one of you that are in Paul's shoes.
Right.
I mean, literally, the first martyr, they laid their coats at Paul's feet, Saul at the time, and he gave the go-ahead. Stephen was stoned because of Paul, Saul, at that time. They were killed. Christians were killed. People trying to hold their faith in a very turbulent time because of that man. And God used him to write the majority of the New Testament. The Bible that we hold so dear and sacred, that guy is a murderer. Don't think that you're too far from gone. Don't think that God can't use you or that there's something amazing that can happen in your life. Look at Paul. That's my favorite example. Yeah.
And also, too, just for the people, there's so many Christians. I mean, and when I say Christians, I mean, I'm in that pool. So don't think I'm singling anybody out, and I'm painting with a broad brush. But Christians are usually the worst people for being judgmental and casting shame on other people. Being like, and there's a Pharisaic spirit with a lot of them. If they do see a person stub their toe and they, you know, they blurt out a four-letter word, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. You better repent. How many people, you don't know how many people, and this is me being vulnerable with you guys, okay? You don't know how many people I've had, I mean, not even privately, like out in public for all to see, which is against scripture. You know, Matthew tells you if you got an issue with your brother or sister, you go to them in private. And they're going to accept that a lot better. But it ain't about correcting that person. It's about calling that person out. But me doing what I'm doing, am I perfect? No. And that's the thing, is like I have to build defensive walls. And I even had a private conversation with somebody that's been in this business for a long time, been kind of mentoring me. And I was like, it's sad. I have to build protective walls up and say, I'm not a preacher. You know, my Prometheus Lens show, that's not a what's the word I'm looking for, Steve? Help me.
A ministry?
Yes, it's not a ministry. It works as a ministry, but it's not technically a ministry. I said, I do that because in my view, it's a defensive wall. Because if I say that, then people can't project perfection upon me. Oh, well, you're preaching the word of God. You should never say a curse word. You should be, you know how many times I've had people, you should be ashamed of yourself. Talking about the word of God and a cigarette in your hand. And, you know what I mean? And I even had a guy, you focus on giants and fallen angels and all these meaningless things, you're leading all these people to hell. And there's going to be plenty of people left behind because you're talking about these meaningless things. And these are Christians. Well, and it makes me want to say, I see you in the comments, but what are you doing? You ain't doing nothing.
Well, where is that conversation with that going? Well, why aren't they talking Jesus to you?
And the thing is, too, is
and just, they're not.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
so it's just a hypocrite and call, these people, trying to call out if, what they think's a hypocrite.
Well, it's just, it all comes down to those without sin cast the first stone. If we were all humble enough and seen how screwed up we are individually, that should give us the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is humbleness. It should humble you. It should make you feel small and so grateful that the Creator of the universe gives you such a small, insignificant to you part to play, that you're allowed to play in the game and He uses you. So therefore, you should be so small in your eyes, you would never look at another person that is talking about God and the kingdom and trying to do something toward the kingdom to point a finger at them and belittle them and talk about them and call out their negative things. You should be having a mirror in front of you and worrying about you and perfecting yourself, because if you're doing that, you'll never have time to do it to anybody else. That's something that really, really frustrates me with our community.
Don't worry about the speck in your friend's eye. First, get the log out of your own.
It's exactly. Jesus said that numerous times, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Like I said, those were the you know, the priests of that day, the modern day, what we would call our pastors, whatever. They're the religious leaders. They're the ones that knew the most about Scripture, yet they'd be the first to condemn you at that time. So he was declaring about false teachers and people that are bringing those false ideas, and it sows seeds of hate. It sows seeds of division. It sows seeds of so many things that separate us. And I mean, Jesus said plainly, or not Jesus, Paul wrote plainly to the church of Corinth, let there be no division among you, because did I die for you? You know, is it because of me, you know, that you're saved? No, it's because of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. As soon as we sit there and start making those and separating ourselves, that we're that stumbling block, like Justin said, and we can't be that. We have to be a strong example. We have to be the ones that are accepting of others, not accepting sin, but drawing people in. If we're the first ones to judge everybody, Justin, you should never have a cigarette. That's a terrible thing. You know, you, Ben, you should never drink a beer. That's a terrible thing. Can't, as soon as you go through and you start casting those stones, if you go back to that parable, which I think is awesome, because if you've never really read it, and we've talked about it a few times, but Jesus doesn't say anything at first. He just starts writing in the sand. And we assume that He's writing each of their sins in the sand, which is why when He gets up, they're all gone. They start walking away, and He looks down at that woman and says, "Woman, you know, why are you down there?" He goes, "You know, your accusers are gone." And He goes, "If they don't condemn you, neither do I, but go and sin no more." The whole point is that she was a sinner. She was doing things she shouldn't have done. But God still came to her and it's like, you know, He convicted her of what was wrong and said, "Change your life."
And He waited till everyone was gone. He didn't belittle her in front of everybody.
But He didn't even belittle her then.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, the correction came in private.
It did. You're right. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you this. We need to, we've talked for about 25 minutes. We haven't even prayed yet. We need to pray. We
can always close it out with prayer at the front.
At this point, we might have to, because we just started rolling and I don't ever want to get in the front of inspiration when things are going and when you're feeling it. I think it's important that you just talk, because these things are real. This is a space I want people to feel comfortable in. I don't want people to feel judged when they listen to us. I want you to know that if I'm preaching the truth, some people are going to be offended. That's just what's going to happen. But when you're offended, that you have to know that's conviction. Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God knocking on your heart saying he wants to come in. So if I'm not telling you the truth, that's not loving you either.
Yeah.
But we have to have that. If I'm telling you the truth, you're going to feel convicted. I'm convicted by it all the time. There's things that God tells me, and he sits here and says, stop being an idiot. I mean, literally, yeah. God does the old thing where he just literally, I'll be reading the Bible, and he, like, his hand comes up out of the words, puts a little baby powder on his hand, and then just smacks me across the face as hard as he can. That's just what he has to do sometimes, because we all are convicted.
Yeah.
At times.
But we've said, I'm not going to say we. I've had a lot of negative stuff to say. So I will say this, positive side. I'm not everybody's flavor. I know I'm rough around the edges. But boy, you should talk to the people that knew me when I was 17, 18 year old, and they see me now. If anybody ever had anything negative to say about me, they'd probably punch him in the face. But you don't know. You might know Justin. You don't know JB. That man would have cut your throat for talking to him like that. I used to be a bad guy. Done a lot of bad stuff. But it speaks to how far I've come. Am I perfected? No. But I try to be real. And because I am real, I've had so many emails of people, like, for example, saying, hey, man, I see you're a 9-to-5 Joe with a family, and you just talking and doing this thing, and all the people that you're reaching, I just want to tell you that I think it's great, and it gives me inspiration. It makes me say, what am I doing? If he can do it, he's just a normal guy, then I can do it. What am I doing to serve the kingdom? What am I doing to make a difference? And then people coming up, you don't know what a profound, effect you've had on me. I do the laundry and the dishes with you in the background. And you guys are so special to me. You've touched me and my family. And just all those similar type stories. And I could be wrong, but I think it's because we have been real. We've been relatable. We've not put on a persona and got up on a hill looking down at everybody with our suit and tie and preaching perfection. We're just like, hey, we're here on your level looking eye to eye, because we truly are.
Truly. We are better than nobody else out there.
And nobody is.
No, that's the point, though, but some people don't view it that way. They don't look at themselves that way. They think of themselves as, like the Pharisaic way, don't touch me, you're unclean. And that's not how I ever want to come off. I am just like Paul, the chief of all sinners.
Yeah. I've done things. I want to go to the heroin addict that's passed out in the street and sit beside of him and talk to him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that they're too good for that. they just kept on walking and probably scoffed and talked about them. Willing to get there.
Not quite to the same level, but the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? You have the one that they hated, right? The Jews. And you have Jesus tells this parable because he says, listen, look, this is, who is his neighbor? Who is his neighbor? It's the person that takes a time that loves that person that they don't agree with, yes, that they don't see eye to eye with. You
but
take
they're not
the time.
Even on the same level with, they're, you know.
No, but they still love that person.
Politically, socially.
Yeah, I don't I want to be able to sit down and have a conversation with you, and we don't have to have the same views. I don't agree with everything that everybody, I don't agree with both of you guys on a lot of things. That doesn't mean I don't love you guys. I love you guys to death. But we're going to have differences of opinion on things, and that's okay, but we have to be able to sit down and discuss that civilly. We have to sit there and sort through it. If it's something where I need correction because I'm out of line, I hope you guys come to me in a Christian way, and we sit there and we talk about it. And vice versa, I will do the same for you, I promise you. And we've had both of, I've had conversations with both you guys about a lot of different things. And things that, you know, our struggles in our own lives. And we all have those things. I just think it's super important that there is a comfortable, safe space for people to come when they don't feel they're where they need to be.
Come as you are.
Come as you are. Jesus is going to meet you there, and he's knocking on the door. It says that. He's knocking on the door, and he's waiting for you to open the door so you'll come in and dine with him. But that conviction you're feeling is him knocking on the door. That reason that you feel guilt is he's knocking on the door.
Well, was it Martha and Mary, the sisters? Was it? That's another prime example to paralyze what we're talking about here. Martha was the picture perfect, suit and tie. She was running around that house, making sure everything was clean. Everything had to be perfect. The best dishes were brought out. And then here was Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus, talking and hanging out. The one was so worried about everything being perfect and in line and missed out on the presence of God and being present and coming as they were.
Boom. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's one of those things where we've said it a million times now, and I want to be able to talk to anybody. I don't care what you've been through in your life. I don't care what you've done. I've known somebody that's probably done it or worse. I might have been that person. Justin might have been that person. Ben might have been that person. I don't know. But if you're struggling with something, reach out to us. We will have no problem talking to you. I want to pray with you. I want to work you through something, whatever that is, because honest to God, everybody needs to have somebody to pray with. Everybody needs to have somebody to talk with. Everybody needs that. And this is, we're not perfect. We're no different than you. I don't care who you are listening. We are no different. But we want to be there with you. We want to help you through whatever you're going through. And we want to help you see that Jesus, when he forgives you, that sin is as cast as deep in the deepest sea where he doesn't see it anymore. It's as far as east is from the west. He doesn't see it anymore. He sees you white as snow. As soon as you ask for him into your heart and you ask for forgiveness, that's all it takes. There's no other religion like that. There's nothing like that. And it's that easy to give your life to Jesus. It's just that easy. And it changes everything. Changes everything. Now, I actually watched something earlier today, and we talked about this. You want to talk about authentic people? The disciples and the apostles, right? They went out, and with the exception of John, every one of them was killed. If you say Judas, he killed himself. Everybody else was killed. Everybody else was killed defending what they thought was right. You think they offended people by telling the truth?
No, I'm sure.
They
died.
They died. But did you die? Yeah, they did. So you look at this and you see that they didn't become wealthy. They didn't get money from any of this. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. This is documented throughout history. This is documented in secular texts. Josephus talks about other secular writers write about this. Early church fathers write about this. And the only one that didn't die that we know of is John.
They tried to. He just survived.
Exactly. And then didn't he go on? I think he was a bishop at Ephesus at the end of his life. I think he was in the church of Ephesus. I'd have to look, to be honest with you. I might be wrong on that. But the whole point is that men struggled, suffered for telling the truth. They reached a lot of people, but all it took was a few people that hated them to make their life miserable. That happens to every one of us as a Christian. We have a few people in our life that'll try to make our lives miserable, that'll come after us, that'll try to challenge that. But that's because they feel that conviction and they don't want to be held responsible for their life, for their actions, for the things that they've done. But they come after us. And it all, you know what they say? It only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch, right? And that's, it's so easy for us to be negative, and negativity, it breathes like, it's just, it's so contagious compared to positivity. It takes so much more positivity to change an idea, to change a culture, to change everything that's going on. It only takes one or two negative people to destroy it all. And we're seeing that in our culture today. We're seeing that because the majority of our country doesn't believe the way that the world's going, but no one speaks up. Everybody just kind of lets it be, and they live in their own little bubble.
It's also a thing. If you see something that's you don't agree with in a political or whatever way, we do need to speak up, because it's us being mute is why the world is the way it is today. You know, grew up, oh, you got to keep politics out of church. Well, if you don't put church into politics, the devil's going to run all through it. And here we are today.
And that kind of brings me in a little bit to some of the things I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, originally we had planned on just talking about some of the things in the news and just have a discussion about it. But as always, Holy Spirit just takes over.
That is the beauty of this show. That is the beauty of this show. I feel like the Holy Spirit is always right there and guiding us and kind of showing us what needs to talk about. I truly feel like we let him just kind of go, because when we get in here, a lot of times, and sometimes we probably should push record a lot earlier, because sometimes we're talking, today we talked for almost an hour before we even started recording. I think it was over an hour, actually. We started talking for over an hour before we even started recording, and it just is something that I feel, you know, God is setting us down and pushing us in a direction. I mean, there's no reason for us three to be gathered here other than the fact that God made that happen. I'm going to tell you straight up, there's no reason, because the three of us didn't hang out before all this. The three of us did not. We were not friends before we started that little Bible study. And even then, at the beginning, I wouldn't have said that we were friends. We just were acquaintances. And God took that.
From a fleshly standpoint, we've all just worked, you know, 10 to 12 hours today. We'd much probably rather be home putting a rear end in the couch, you know?
I'd rather be with you guys, I'll be honest.
Sorry, Liz.
No. I love being, Liz, don't you listen to him. I love being at home. I love being with my wife, love being with my kids, but sometimes you need to do what you're called to do. And I want you to know, I love knowing that even though I'm imperfect, I'm not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, that God can still use me, and that God is using me, and that I know I'm doing what he's telling me to do. And that to me is something that I can't even express into words how amazing that makes me feel sometimes, is that God puts me in a place where I can talk about him, where we have a platform that just can reach people. Because I could sit here and talk about this on my couch till I'm blue in the face. Who's going to hear me? My wife and my kids. That's it. And I'm not saying they don't need to hear it, because they do. And that's what my job is, as a spiritual leader of the household. But when God gives you a platform, he set us together. He literally put us together and made this happen in a very short amount of time, and become great friends in a short amount of time, to the point where, you know, we've spent a lot of time together now. And I'd like to hope that we've changed at least one life out there. And you know what? If it's only one, it's still been worth it. So I just think it's so amazing, and it moves me to think that God will use me. And I, just like Paul, like I said, I am the chief of all sinners. I've done things I am not proud of. I have hurt people. I've said things. I've done things that I wish I could take back. And then I look in the mirror and say, you know what? No. If I hadn't gone through everything I've been through, what would my witness be? How would I reach somebody? I went through terrible things. I did terrible things. I have things I'm not proud of. I know I've said things that I, because I can look back in my head and think about some things that people have said to me over my lifetime that I still remember, that tore me up, that still to this day, if I just let it go in my head, piss me off to this day from 30 years ago. And it blows me away that something that long ago can eat me up. And I know I was the guy that said those things too. I know I've hurt people. And I've said this before. If there's anybody out there that's listened to this that I've ever said something to that I hurt you, I am so sorry. It eats me alive, the person I was before. And it's so important that we have that, that we let God use us in everything that we've been through. We've been through these struggles. We've been through these trials. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Our testimony, our witness is so important for that exact reason. This tears me up, man, because it literally is something that it's just amazing to me that God will can use anybody. Anybody out there, I don't care who's listening. If you are going through something that is just awful in your life, I promise somebody else has been through it, and I hope that that person finds you and that they show you how God got them out of that.
It's the same with like that, the one guy that we had at church, the prison dude.
Oh, yeah. Robert Gibson.
I mean, heck fire, the stuff that
he did. Yeah. Multiple homicides.
In prison.
In prison.
Yeah.
He killed a guy for slapping him on the butt.
Well.
I mean, literally. I mean, that was his first... his first manslaughter charge.
In jail.
Yeah. And I mean, the guy literally has turned into a preacher who is on fire for God after being in prison. Basically, two life sentences. He had multiple things that happened while he was in there. And even to the point where, whether he's or not it was from him, prison guards died.
Yeah, he's pretty much the ringleader of the whole... He run that prison from the, you know,
inside.
On the inmate side of things.
It's just amazing to me. And you see people. And
you never see it in them now.
No. The guy's on fire for God.
He's the nicest guy. He has patience.
How easy would it be for him just to preach and put on his suit and never talk about that past? It'd be real easy.
And yet he drove
a huge disservice by doing so.
He drove over 2 hours to come and talk to our men's group at church, which was like 30 people.
Yeah.
He drove 2 hours just to come talk to 30 people. Because you know what? If he changed one person.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth everything.
And son, he wasn't scared. He'd walk up, "You believe in Jesus?"
He's on fire, man.
Like not high. "Hey, do you believe in Jesus?" "I do." "Good. Then you go to the next one. You believe in Jesus?" Like, there wasn't no, and I've heard it multiple times. I was watching that Peterson fella, whatever his name is.
Jordan Peterson?
Yeah, he was talking about, I guess he heard it from somebody, but he's saying, if we truly believe, which we do, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and eternal life, how bad do we have to hate people to not tell them? I mean, you should be telling everybody, "Hey, Jesus loves you. If you ain't right with him, you ought to get that way." And you just walk away, just leave them with that and walk away. But, you know, we're all guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when it's like me and Bruce went Saturday and pulled some axles out down close to Chattanooga. I didn't even say a word to the guy. We sat there, had a conversation while I was pulling them axles out. I could have talked to him right there in front of my boy too. to show my boy, hey, this is how you do, you know. I didn't know. Probably should have.
It's something that we take and we learn from those experiences, because we've all been in that position. We learn from those experiences, though, and we try to make sure that we reach that next person. Try to pray that we never miss an opportunity. And we always pray that, you know, if we're not the ones that did it, that God will send somebody else along that will come in behind us. But I'll say this, and we've all missed those opportunities, but I'll say this right now, that I hope and pray that when I get up there, you know, I hear the well done, good and faithful servant, not that, why didn't you talk to this guy? He's not here because of you.
Hey, you idiot. You should have.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think that's how it will go down. I mean, I don't know, but I never want to be the result. I mean, you think about that one thing you could say to somebody that could change their life. I mean, change, we talk about that, somebody's life and their salvation. The first, you know, that analogy of the rope. Say you have a 100-foot rope, and a guy, I saw a pastor do this on Facebook or something, and he had the first 2 inches of the rope tied with red tape, right? First 2 inches of a 100-foot rope. He goes, this is our life. And he says, this red tape is our life on earth. And this is all we're concerned about. See, the rest of this rope, it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. But this first 2 inches is all we seem to care about. And I thought that was so powerful to me. I'm like, dude, he's so right. Why not use this little 2 inches of this rope to change as many lives as we can to help join us in that, the rest of that rope, the rest of eternity? That's such a powerful thing to me.
But it's also what we do in those 2 inches of rope defines the rest of eternity, of where we'll be and what we'll be doing. So it's, you can look at it both ways. We're here just for a short time.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't miss an opportunity. Pray to God that you don't miss an opportunity. And when you do, pray that you don't miss the next one. It's real easy to get caught up in our own stuff that's going on in our lives. It's real easy. We all have struggles. We all have things we're going through. There's days when I do not feel like showing like I'm a Christian. I don't feel like it. I got too much on my own plate, and I had to sit, and I got to double check myself, because I sit there wallowing in my own misery, or I'm mad about this, and I think about later, I'm like, how menial was that compared to the big picture?
And that, like most arguments you have with people, you go and you look back, and you're like, that was stupid. Why did I blow up over,
mm-hmm.
over this lady parking in, whipping in the parking lot before me, or, you know, get all out of shape because they park crooked in the parking spot, so I can't fit, so I gotta go 4-5 spots further away.
I thought, like, you were gonna say because somebody didn't have their Jeep parts.
Well, I mean, that's worth getting mad over, but I'm talking about stuff that's not worth getting mad over.
You're right, though. You're 100% right. Mean, we get bent out of shape of those things. I get bent out when somebody pulls out in front of me. We talk about that stuff.
Stupid stuff.
And if you have the Holy Spirit, you get convicted over that stuff anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So it's like you have a moment, whatever.
We're not going to be perfect.
You smash your thumb with a hammer.
You say
you drop the F-bomb. As soon as it comes out your mouth, if you're a Christian,
you're like, oh, God.
So you already feel bad. You already feel convicted. The last thing you need is a Pharisee over your shoulder. You better repent and watch your mouth. Nah. That's not going to be met with any kind of smile on someone's face, especially after they just had a blow up moment. People, in my opinion, are so worried about being right and looking good. That's where that comes from. That's not a place of love. Yeah, the Bible says, you know, you're to correct people, but you're supposed to do it in love and in private. And it's like, people are like bank accounts. People are always so quick and ready to make a withdrawal. A correction is a withdrawal. But you can't make a withdrawal until you start making some deposits. And the deposits are love, kindness, compassion, care. Now, if you got somebody that's wallowing in sin and claiming to be a Christian or whatever else, go to that person. Don't correct them. Tell them everything they're doing wrong. Love that person. Say, hey, what's going on? What's got you so upset? How can I help you? You're struggling with this? Well, let's pray about it. Oh, you don't have the money to make your car payment this month? Hey, I'll help you. Those are deposits into that person and their life. And then once you do that and you build some rapport and show that person you love them, you care for them, then you can be like, hey, you know I love you. We've spent this time together, and I think you know by now that I care for you and got your best interest in heart. You know, do you think what you're doing is glorifying God? You know, ask questions, get them to think and make their own decisions and kind of gently guide them to that living water.
That's about all you have to say to them. Hey, yeah. Do you think doing what you're doing right there is glorifying God? They know the answer. That's all. You just brought it up. The Holy Spirit will convict them. That's all you have to do.
So it's funny you say the way you said that too is Liz just bought these, you know, the old WWJD bracelets, everybody, you know, those things.
Yeah.
I still love them. I still have them at home. I still wear them most of the time when I remember. 90s kid. I love it. I think it's a great way for me, and it convicts me too. I look down like, man, I should not have just said that 2 minutes ago, because it does. It helps convict you. But Liz has these ones that she just got, and she got me one too, and I don't have it on. But it says HWLF instead of the WWJD. And I thought this was kind of cool because I had never heard it before. But it stands for He Would Love First. God would love you first. Jesus loved first. Jesus showed love to everybody. He showed compassion to the woman they were trying to stone for adultery. He showed compassion to her first. And then, you know, it says all scripture is good for teaching and for correction. Then he did. He said, hey, you're not, what you're doing is not right. You know, he exactly what you said. He said, you know, this isn't right. Get up and go and sin no more. It's just, to me, that is such a powerful thing to see. If we don't exude the way that Jesus walked and the way that Jesus talked and the way that Jesus carried himself, if we don't exude that, if we don't show that, if we're just quick to jump on the judgment bandwagon or to jump on the condemnation bandwagon, that is not what Jesus did. That's what the Pharisees did. Jesus did correct people because he loved them. Jesus did say things people didn't want to hear that was truth because he loved them. But he came from a place of love when he started. He said, what you're doing, he goes, listen, this isn't right. This isn't what God would want. Go and sin no more. And he says that multiple times. It's just such an important thing to understand is that we can't come from that area where you're sitting there going, Justin, why the heck do you smoke? That's stupid.
It's disgusting.
How am I going to get through to you? How am I going to bring you? Does that bring you closer to God? Does that a good witness from me to come to you and say, why are you being an idiot? You're not, you're going to hell for that. You're dragging people away because you're smoking. Like, is that a witness? If I go to anybody and that's the first thing I talk about is what you're doing is it's just straight demonic. It's hell and you're sinning and doing all these bad things. How does that bring anybody closer to God? Especially if you're not a Christian. If I go to somebody and tell them that's not a Christian and they're looking at me and saying, that guy's a Christian, that's how they're going to treat me.
They'll say, go get bent, bro.
Exactly. And that's not going to bring them to God.
Nope.
You need to exude Jesus. Show the love that he showed. Exactly what you said. Go to them first in love. Show them love. Be there for them. And then after that, first of all, they're going to see your example and understand, wow, they're going to feel that. They're going to feel God in you. They see God in you. You're imagers of Christ. They're going to see that in you. They're going to want to know, why would he help me?
Why does he even care?
Why does he care? What makes you care about that person? It's because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have God that is pushing you in that direction. And that's what changes everything. We could talk about this till we're blue in the face at this point, but I'm sure we will again at some point, because I have a habit of that as well. But this to me is so important, is that we meet people where they are, show them love, show them God, and bring them into the fold. We talk about all the time, empty out hell and populate heaven. That to me is our goal.
Well, God loves everybody. He just hates the sin. So you got to look at it that way. I mean, the prostitute on the corner, God loves her to death, hates what she's doing. And if you can talk to her and whatever, and, you know, get her to change her ways, lead her to Christ.
She's no different. She's no different than me and you, with the exception of that we found Christ.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a sin's a sin, regardless.
Exactly.
A lie's just the same as murder. In God's eyes, there's no. Oh well, that's just a baby sin. So you can get away with two or three of those before I'll punish you. Mm-mm. No, it's all or none.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yep, for sure. All day, every day.
More than I like to admit.
Oh, I mean, like, you look at a pretty girl. Man, she's pretty. Adultery. Right there. You think it in your mind, it's adultery.
Yep.
It's hard to...
All comes back to humility then.
Yeah.
Honesty and humility.
Yeah, I mean...
And you know how screwed up you are.
Man, that guy sure does have a nice Jeep.
Even the gossiping. Did you see what such and such was wearing at church the other day? You know,
well, gossiping.
You know, men do it too, but women are synonymous for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, put a mirror in front of you, dissect yourself and fix yourself. And then once you completely fix yourself, then you can move that mirror and start focusing on everybody else.
And that's a hard thing to do, is look and condemn yourself.
Oh, it's always,
because everybody thinks, oh, it's not. It's my situation's different. I ain't like them people.
Mm-hmm.
Them people are wrong. But I went through all this so I can have my beer. But everybody else is wrong for drinking their beer or smoking their cigarettes.
You guys have anything else you want to add to that?
Just love everybody.
ELE. Everybody love everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. Make deposits before you make withdrawals. And mind your own business.
Boom.
All right, on the way out, who wants to pray?
I think the part-timer should. This be his one for the 6 months. All right.
Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our conversation we had today. Thank you for everything you've given us and everything you ain't given us. Thank you for this wonderful country we live in, and please look over us and guide our leaders.
Protect the ballot boxes this year.
Yes. Just name him in.
Amen.
And as always, keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig. Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the Handcrafted Audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.